watch an infomercial. Oh, there's Bud. Okay, Bud's the only one. But anyway, let me describe how these things work to you real quick if you've never seen it. The whole deal is they're trying to sell you a product that you probably don't think you need or you don't need. But whenever you watch them, you have never seen people with problems as bad as these people in the infomercials. It's like, have you ever had trouble cutting a tomato? And this person's like trying to cut it with a like dull knife or has like a hammer they're hitting it with. Like they're doing the dumbest thing you've ever seen. These people obviously have problems with tomatoes. But they're like, have you ever had trouble chopping an onion? And I'm thinking, no, man. I mean, I don't like to do it sometimes, but I mean, it's not like it's a life-altering task. You see the person in the infomercial going to cut an onion, you feel like they might hurt themselves, like they're having that tough of a time with it. So infomercials are good at this. They point out a problem to you. They show you, all right, dude, this is a problem. You've got a need that needs to be met, and then they're ready to jump in 20 seconds later with, well, guess who's got the solution to your problem? The Wapa Choppa, whatever. We've got some sort of device that's going to help you, that's going to fix this problem that you have. And it's the thing that gets me is before you start the infomercial, you didn't even know you had that problem. Like, I didn't know onions were that difficult. I didn't know tomatoes were so dangerous, but hey, man. And you've got the solution right there. In the Bible, there's lots of situations where we have this pattern of bad news, good news, bad news, good news. And I think it's an important pattern. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take you all the way back to the beginning. We're going to start in the book of Genesis. And this is something else I think is neat. We take it back to the book of Genesis. And if you think of the first time that God's talking to man, the first time that he's ever interacting with him, did he start off with the good news or the bad news? Think for a second. Think to yourself, did God start off with the good news or the bad news? It's right here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what we started off with. You know, it'd really help if instead of making jokes, I would have set this up. But starting in verse 28, here's the first thing that God's saying to Adam and Eve. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. To all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. So God leads off with, here's a garden, here's all the food. You're not going to have to work for it. It's just going to grow, la, la, la. So what I'm trying to get at right here is the idea that God led off with the good news. He's like, I'm leading you off with, here's an awesome situation that I'm putting you in. One other little hiccup right here, if you look at chapter 2, verse 15. God took the man, put him out there, and he said, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So, whenever it started out, God gave him the good news. He says, here's a garden, here's all the fruit that you could ever want to eat, papayas, mangoes, I don't know what was in there, good stuff. Good food, everything that you could ever want. Go ahead, eat it, be fruitful, multiply, rule over the animals, rule over the fish, rule over all that stuff. God leads off with something that is insanely good. He gives us the good news first. But we all know what happens. Don't eat of this one tree, they eat of the one tree. So here we got some bad news. The bad news is I told y'all what was going to happen. You're kicked out of the garden, you're done. That's the bad news. So I want y'all to think real quick, well, what's the good news that comes after that? They're kicked out of the garden. You're told you can't come back. That land flowing with milk and honey and awesomeness, you're not allowed to come back to it. It takes them a little while to hit the good news after that. Actually, it takes about 9 chapters. So whenever you get to Genesis chapter 12, we've been kicked out of the garden. Things have been rough. Chapter 12 is where God finally, all right, you've got your bad news. Let me give you some good news. In Genesis chapter 12, that's where God first appears to Abraham. He comes to Abraham, and he leads him off with this good news right here. If you want to go ahead and look at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So guys, all of these descendants of Adam, from the time they got kicked out of the garden until Abraham, they had been living in bad news. They had been living in, we messed this up. We've been living in this time of where we dropped the ball. And God said, we can't go back to Eden. So man, what are we supposed to do? What are we going to do? Until it finally comes around to Abraham and we get some good news. He tells Abraham, I'll be with you. I'll bless you. Your descendants are going to be as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Good news just gets piled on. All this good happening. And they appreciated it. Abraham left his family. He left and he went on this journey. He went where God told him. A real big reason I think of it is because he realized, well, what we got now isn't working. What we've been doing won't do it. We've been living in these bad times. We've been living far away from God. If he gives me the opportunity, all right, I'm going back. Let's do this. So that's a good time. Blessings, it's awesome, it's great. Sorry to tell you, though, the good news doesn't last. Good news didn't last. They end up, after generations, going into Egypt, and they end up getting put into slavery for about 400, 450 years. So bad news, you're in slavery. No good. And it lasted 450 years. Generations come and go. But you weren't left with bad news. There was good news. What happened is it talked about the Israelites, all of them living there. They cried out to God. They entreated him. They're asking God, what's going on? God, can you do something for us? And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, sorry, I do a little jumping. But in Exodus 3, verse 7, God is speaking to Moses from the bush. And the first thing that he says out of there, he says, take off your shoes, this is holy ground. In verse 7, he looks at Moses and he says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them. They lived in this long time of bad news. They lived in this long time of struggle and hardship and all of this. But then there's good news. Moses, you're being sent to take the people out of Egypt. And if you think about what happens, we talk about them coming out of Egypt and everything, but you took the people who were the slaves for hundreds of years, people who got no respect, people who were treated like dirt. And whenever they came out of Egypt, they had pretty much ransacked Egypt, had all this gold, all this food, all of this. They had everything they could ever want, and they get out of there. So bad news, slavery for all this time, good news. God comes and delivers them, and they're thankful. They're so thankful for a while. They get the good news. They get complacent in the good news. And for this one, I know it seems like I'm going forward here, Genesis, Exodus. I'm going to go forward one other big jump right here in the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, this is a chapter that can be called good news, bad news chapter. Chapter 28, the title of it is The Covenant of Blessings and Cursings. That's definitely good news, bad news, it sounds like. Very split down the middle right there. But what God says, he's like, if you're faithful to me and you follow after me, he says, I will bless you. I will be with you. I will be your God. You will be my people. But if you don't, he says, I'll scatter you to the four winds. You will be off in another country. You won't be able to worship me. You won't be able to do anything like you've been doing it. Well, come about the end of coming up into the prophets and everything in the Bible. They had been wrapped up in idolatry. They had stopped serving God. They had turned away from him. And it was time for bad news. Babylon comes through, takes over Israel, takes over Judah, ships all of those people out of their land, settles it with new people. So they have been, just like God said, I spread you to the four winds. You're not going to live in your land anymore. You're not going to have any of the things that you had before. That's bad news. I'm going to go ahead and just say it. That's bad news. That's no good. But one other interesting thing out of that covenant of blessings and cursings, the last bit of it before they finish, he's like, here's the blessings you'll get. Here's the cursings if you don't follow me. And there's like a little addendum at the end of the cursing where he says, but if you return to me, I'll gather you back from that same place I scattered you to. I will bring you back to your land. I will forgive you. Bad news. Babylon, Assyria, they take over them, scatter them all over the place, do that. But after 70 years, prophesied in the book of Jeremiah, it's prophesied after this 70 years, you will come out of that captivity. You will be let go from all these other nations, and you will be allowed to come back to your land. And it happens. Funny thing is, I'll go ahead and just say it, it doesn't just happen in the Bible, like it's separated from everything. They have historical documents talking about the king of Babylon, Cyrus, setting out his decree saying that the Jews are allowed to return to Israel. Some people say that they don't care about that kind of stuff, like it doesn't affect their faith, but I feel the need to put it in with the thought of like, oh, well, you're just looking at the Bible, you're just hearing what the Bible says. So I'm like, the Bible said it and the history book said it too, that King Cyrus let them go, let them return to their land. I mean, that's kind of a big deal, I think. But anyway, so they get released, they go back, the good news is they're free, and there's one other bit of good news that came from all their time in Babylon, one other bit of good news. As far as you can find in the Bible, there ain't another time that the Jews had problems with idolatry. There was not another time where they thought, man, you know what? Baal and all them other gods, you know, we haven't messed with them in a while, but they seem pretty cool. Maybe we should try that. No. They wanted no part of it. They knew that God was God. Man, Baal didn't come help them whenever they were in trouble. Asherah didn't come and help them. It's only through God that we had anything good come, so we're through with all this other junk. So, there's some good news for you. Now, I want to go ahead and throw out the last bit of bad news and good news because this one actually applies to us. The bad news is that there's nobody righteous in the whole world. The bad news is that there's nobody good enough to make it to heaven. The bad news is that every one of us falls about a mile or three short of what makes somebody able to go to heaven. Y'all ever think about that? We talk about it a lot. There's verses that say, except for the grace of God, you know, we would all be lost. Jesus is the only name by which we are saved. We bring up that kind of stuff a lot. But I want you to go ahead and try and get in a mindset real quick. I want you to go ahead and think about this. Think about the thought you are lost. Think about the thought that you cannot be saved. Think about the thought that there is nothing you can do to make yourself right. And listen to these verses. Remember, you used to be called a sinner. Remember, there was a time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Listen to that last bit one more time. There was a time when you were without hope and without God in the world. Try and think of that. Try and just put it in your mind and your thoughts. Imagine that's right now. How do you feel? Foreigner to the covenants of the promise. Foreigners to all of the promises that God's made. Without hope, without God. Tell you the truth, sometimes I read that and I don't really feel anything. I'm not really scared. You know, I think, well, man, I've got Christ. I'm together with God. I mean, why should I be scared about that? Here's the deal, guys. Do you remember I talked about way at the beginning, I talked about infomercials? And I talked about the idea that they come and they show you that you've got a problem. And then they solve that problem. Do you know why they show you there's a problem? Because if they don't show you this problem, you might miss it. If they don't explain that this is a struggle or show how this could be a problem, then you're just not even going to look for it. How many people go to the doctor whenever they're not sick? Oh, well, there's one. Okay. Your mommy probably makes you do that. But why do you go? Man, you're like, no. Oh, man, I need a couple aspirin. Do you have a headache? No, man, I just like aspirin. No, nobody does that. It's the deal of like, unless you know there's a problem, well, you're not looking for a solution. You don't care about aspirin when you don't have a headache. You're not worried about Tamiflu whenever you're not having the flu. You know, you don't worry about any of this stuff until you see, dude, I need it. We got a problem. We got to fix this. And the problem that I think happens to us as Christians, especially if you've been raised in the church, especially if you've been in here all your life, We forget that we ever had a problem. We forget that we were sick. We forget how important what we've got in Christ is. I'll be honest, I've had that feeling a whole lot because, I mean, from the day I was born, the youngest I can remember, I've been brought into church and everything. And sometimes it feels like you don't get convicted very much because from the day that you're born, from the day you walk into church, the only thing that you ever hear is, man, God loves you so much. God died for you. You're great. You're awesome. You're perfect. You know he's going to be here for you no matter what and all that. Is that true? Absolutely. But sometimes the problem that happens is we're getting the cure thrown at us before we even know we're sick. And what happens if you don't know that you're sick and I come up over here and I start throwing you antibiotics and stuff? Brand's just going to look at me, what's the matter with you, dude? I don't need none of that. Why are you giving me this? Like, it's not that important. I'm fine. You don't appreciate the cure. You're not looking for the cure. It doesn't mean anything to you, man, unless you know you're sick. Nobody's looking for vaccines. Nobody's looking for Tylenol. Nobody's looking for any of that stuff when they think they're okay, when they think they're fine. And as a byproduct of that, we can sometimes end up here thinking about God and everything. Like, is it really that important to follow what God said, you know? Is it really that important that I stay faithful to my wife, you know? Is it really that important that I don't go out and cheat and go out on benders drinking all the time? And is it really important that I don't rip off people? Is it really important that I live like Jesus did? You know what, guys? If we realize what had happened and where we were before he came along, the question wouldn't be, do I really have to do this? The question is, man, how do I do this? You got to know that you have a problem or else you don't look for a solution. You don't care about a cure. You don't care about any of that because you don't think you're sick. Some of y'all, I'd say probably the majority of y'all heard of this guy, Francis Chan. Well, Francis Chan is a preacher, sells books, does all this stuff. Well, one of his things that really struck me, I was watching him speak on YouTube like a couple months ago. And the thing that he said is, you know what's the hardest place to preach? He says, I've been in the inner cities, I've been in foreign countries, I've been all over the place. And he says, you know where's the hardest church I've ever preached at in my whole life? Beverly Hills. And I said, dude, that actually sounds pretty sweet. I don't see why that would be bad. I'm sure you got a good salary to go along with that and everything. Like, what's so bad about that? And the thing, not like I'm talking to him, but he assumes we're asking that in the video. And he says, the problem is, they all assume that nothing is wrong. They assume, man, I've got all the money I need. I've got all the food I need. I've got all this different stuff. Like, I don't have any physical needs. So as a byproduct of that, I don't think about spiritual needs either. He's like, it's like you can't tell them they need to be closer to God. You can't convict them. You can't do that because they're just like, things are actually going pretty good, dude. I don't see any need for me to change what I'm doing. I think things are fine. The whole time they've got a sickness that they just don't know about. They've been drifting away from God. They haven't been following. They haven't been doing all that. Francis Chan's trying to throw them the antibiotics. He's trying to give them the Tamiflu, and they're just like, man, get away. What are you, man, I'm fine. Why are you trying to give me this? Why are you trying to tell me that I need this? I'm obviously fine. Here's one other point I want to put right here with this. We've all had some experience at some point with the ideas of essential oils or health products or additives and all this different stuff like that. I want to tell you what's the common thread I've seen through all of that whenever people bring this stuff up. Now, this isn't me saying go get essential oils, but I'm just using this as an illustration. Every person who has ever tried to tell me about that, any person who has ever tried to get me to buy into it or purchase it or do something like that, the thing they lead off with every time is they tell you, man, I used to have a problem with this, and this helped me. Man, I used to have a problem with that, and this helped me. Man, I used to have a problem. I didn't have energy when I was working out. I started taking this supplement, man, and it gave me that extra jolt that I needed to go ahead and do something. Oh, man, I used to suffer from migraines, but I got this, and it helped me. You see, it's this idea of they said, I had a problem. This is what helped me. And then what's the next step? It can help you too. Take a second to think about that. This thing helped me. I had a problem. It solved it. And I want it to help you with your problems too. Guys, that's what the gospel is supposed to be too. That's supposed to be the idea. You think of the songs we sing, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Verses where it says things like, well, how could we turn away from Jesus? He's the name by which all sins are washed away. There's no other name by which we're saved. What happens if we've never seen that we have a problem? What happens if we don't have something like that to say? Sometimes that's the problem, is we think, well, I've never had a problem. I grew up in church all my life. You know, I've always been here. So since I've never had a problem and I've never really thought about all that Jesus has done for me, well, then I don't really have anything to tell anybody else. Before you want the cure, before you get the cure, you got to realize you need it. And guys, we all need it. There ain't a person sitting in this building or any other building here on this Sunday morning who doesn't need the salvation that Christ gives, who doesn't need that. And guys, the more we realize that, it's kind of like the thought of all these health supplements and the essential oils and all that different stuff. The thought of, I was so messed up. I had so many problems. This helped me through it. And man, if I see you got a problem, man, I'm like, well, look, this is what helped me. Let me show you. Let me help you. Man, I've had a rough time. I see you're having the same kind of rough time. Let me show you what helped me through. Let me show you what made me better. Take out essential oils in that situation, put in God. Man, I see you struggling with the same stuff I used to have problems with, Brandon. Man, look, this is what helped me. This is what I've seen in the Word. Let me show you. Man, I know you're going through a tough time right there, Debbie, same as I used to go through, same problems. Look what God said to me. Look what was shown to me. Let me give you what helped me. Do you see the difference right there? Sometimes we think about telling people about God. We think about it just like, oh man, well, I'm selling something nobody wants to buy, you know, or oh, I'm putting something out there that nobody really cares about. You know what really encourages people and really makes them care about something? You telling them how it's changed you. You showing them how it's helped you. You talking about, man, I was so messed up before this and look at what I am now. It's through the grace of God, man. Let me tell you about it. Let me show you. I don't want y'all to take it the wrong way whenever I say this wording and everything, like the church is a commercial thing or something like that. If we don't believe in our product, how are we going to have anybody else believe in it? If we don't see the change it's made in us, if we don't appreciate it, if we don't realize how much we've been given and how much it's done for us, how are we going to make anybody else think that? So I encourage you guys to go ahead and take some time to reflect. Take some time to think. Take some time to look at these verses like I talked about right here in Ephesians. The thing that he's talking about right here, guys, he's not talking about just the people back in Ephesus 2,000 some odd years ago. He's talking to what we were. Foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Foreigners from Jesus. Foreigners from God. No hope in the world. And listen to that one more time. Without God in the world. How many of you think, ah, that doesn't sound so bad? You know, yeah. Without God in the world, that's not really a big problem. I mean, oh, without any hope? Hope's overrated. Who cares about that? No. Whenever we read a verse like that, it should be the thought of like, thank you, God. Because without you, that's all that I am. If I put the whole world before you, if I say I'm a Christian, but I don't live it, I don't act like you, I'm indistinguishable from everybody who isn't a Christian. I go ahead and I act like whatever I want, and I just show up on Sunday and say I'm a Christian. He says, well, what are you really doing, man? Without hope in the world, without God in the world, separated from the promises. He's the idea of like, man, if you're with me, you need to be with me. And if we think about all that he's done, if we think about all that he offers and everything, can any of us honestly say, man, he doesn't really deserve that? I mean, what has God done that's so great that I should really even listen to him at all? He took us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the heavenly realms. He He took a sinner who couldn't even pull himself up by his own bootstraps and put us on the throne with him next to the Son of God. He took us from rooting around in the pig slop and nastiness, wishing that we could go ahead and just eat what the pigs were eating, and took us to being his son again. Guys, I hate to burst your bubble. We got problems. We do. We do. Everybody. You know why you got problems? Because you're alive. Everybody's got problems. There's always a struggle. There's always a problem. There's always something that we need fixed, something that's just not quite the way it's supposed to be. And something that we need to bring to the forefront in our minds, we have to always remember, is like part of that is our Christian walk. It isn't perfect. We need to realize it isn't perfect, and we need to strive for something better. We need to go ahead and realize there's a sickness in the world. It's sin. It's death. That's what it is. Dude, I want the cure. You got to realize you got a problem. You have to realize that there's something trying to get at you before you look for the way to fix it. I'm going to leave you with one other little thing right here. There's a Christian song I was listening to, and the way that the guy words it is, he says, sin sickness is so hypnotic, it's got us, I'm not going to say it right, it's a rap song, so I'm definitely not going to get the words right, but he says, the sin sickness is so hypnotic, it's got us stumbling around talking like we're not sick. The thing of that we can be lulled into such a sense of security and thinking, oh, everything's fine, oh, I'm great, there's no big deal. He says it's the same thing as a dude stumbling around, sick as a dog, needs to go to the hospital saying, man, I'm fine. I'm fine. There ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm good. You don't get healed until you realize you're sick. You pray for God to help you out. Well, man, you're not going to do that until you realize you need that help. If you've never come before, if you want to start on this journey of following after God, of being saved, of starting down that journey with him, and you've never been baptized, you can come forward right now. We'll go ahead and do it. It's the first step on a journey. It's not a stamp that says, all right, boom, you're Christian, done. It starts you down a lifelong road that we walk. If you never started that journey, let us help you begin it. If you're on that journey and you're struggling, come forward and we'll pray for you for that as well. And that's the thing, guys, is it is a journey. We all need to understand that. We all need to know that. We need to be willing to say when we're struggling, be willing to help each other out so that we can make it through this thing. If there's anything that you need, please come forward as we stand and sing our closing.